1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
David Hall is requested to get on the air. Yeah, David, we don't even have your music, so I'm assuming that this is serious.
It is serious, Phil. I wanted to get on the air and tell you and your audience before they read about this. People that are familiar with the Ryan Seacrest radio show are probably familiar with a young lady that he's had on his program, and she's a lot of fun to listen to, Little Allie.
Yeah.
Apparently, she was taken into custody tonight by L.A. County Sheriff, along with other juveniles, on a set, a movie set, in West Hollywood, apparently with some kind of child porn.
Boy.
I'm only kidding.
What is that, some kind of...
I'm only joking, come on!
It ain't funny, man!
How many times have I come on here and said stuff like that, and I say I'm only joking, you're still buying it?
Yeah, but you're still buying it? Well, you guys told me this was deadly serious, and that's why you weren't using the music, and so I believe you. Little Allie was busted for child porn. That's really great, man. Here's a guy that does a radio show, a pretty good show, and he's got a nice little bit there, and we got to just crap all over that, huh?
I'm not crapping all over it. I said, I'm just kidding.
You know, I drive to school, my daughter to school every morning.
Oh, here we go. This ought to be good, bud.
You know, here's the, oh, I'm a dad thing. Oh, really? Well, let me just tell you guys, I drive to my daughter to school. We listen to the Ryan Seacrest show. She likes that Little Allie bit, and I do too.
Yeah, sure.
Well, what difference does it make whether I do or whether I don't? She was taken into custody on a child porn set.
Oh, come on, man. Can't you get a little fun out of life? Live a little.
Live a little? That's a riot.
Don't you laugh at me.
I'm laughing at you, man. Live a little. First it's anthrax, then it's tuberculosis, then my wife's dead, then you got raped in the parking garage. Remember when I believed that one?
Yeah.
Think that's funny, huh?
Frankly, I do.
Then it was this, then it was that, then it was something else. Now Little Allie, taken into custody, child porn. What a slob. What if she's listening right now?
Are you kidding me? It's after 9 o'clock. If she's got to be on Seacrest show, she better be in bed at 6. What if she's listening right now?
Maybe they tape it. Maybe the kid stays up late. Maybe she doesn't have to go to school until late.
Yeah, maybe you're a chick. Maybe you had one installed. Maybe I don't know that.
Had one installed?
You know what I'm saying. I need for you to lighten up. Get this show on the road, man. Loosen up.
Yeah, there's spots before your eyes.
You're all in a heap.
I'm hanging up now.
Hang up on me, Henry, and that's the last time you'll ever talk.
Okay, thank you very much for that. 1-800-449-8686. All kinds of stuff, man, taking my kid to school. Oh, by the way, my wife calls me this morning, and of course, she goes to work, and I'm still sleeping. Why? Because, I go to work later than everybody else. So, you know, these days, if you don't check your cell phone, it's a war crime. Why didn't you have your phone on? I don't know. I didn't turn it up. Well, did you check your messages? Every 3 seconds of every hour of every day? No. Well, I left you 2 messages. Well, good God. So I got a message. There's a fire at her school. And by the time I get the next message, it's okay. Everything's fine, right? But the first message freaks me out. I'm about ready to get into my clothes and go and find out what the hell are they talking about. There's a fire. And how did my wife find this out? My wife works at another radio station. She does news. Guess what? It came over the police scanner. How'd you like to hear that over the police scanner? Your kid's school, there's a fire. So she calls me up, and I immediately kind of get into super dad gear. I'm starting to throw on slippers, shorts. I walk out of the house. I'm completely inappropriately dressed. I got on underwear, wingtips, a tie, and a baseball cap. What is that, Well, I'm sorry. I'm half asleep. I don't want to drop any names, but Mike Socia, the great manager of the Anaheim Angels, or should I say the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, or is it the Orange County Angels of Santa Ana, or it's the San Diego Angels of LA? I don't know what they're, but anyway, they've, as you know, won the American League West title. And Mike's a very nice guy, and his kids go to my kids' school. So anyway, make a long story short, I used to take Catherine to school in the morning when she was going to kindergarten, and I'd show up in shorts. It's too early, man. It's just too early, dude. I work late, and my wife is, you know, like a Three Stooges thing. So when you get up that early, it's just enough that you got the bare minimum on. So I got on shorts, sometimes bare feet and a T-shirt, right? Now, it's the middle of February in California, and that gets, in these parts, that means it's probably, if it's really cold, it may be around 40 degrees, maybe even 35 on some mornings. This might have been one of those 40-degree mornings. So I'm dropping her off. Now, what you got to do is you got to walk the kids. This day and age, of course, everything is about safety and protection. And I understand that. So not only do you arrive with the child in a large 85-gallon armored personnel carrier called a Ford SUV of an excursion or an explosion or an excretion or whatever it's called, then you walk the kid down there to make sure that she doesn't get kidnapped in the 300 feet between the car and the kindergarten class, because you never know, a wild conejo may come out and abscond her to a rabbit hutch. So you walk her down there. And now I'm walking down in the bare feet and the shorts. She doesn't care. She's five. And there's Sosha. And he's from Pennsylvania.
Hey, what is this all about? Hey, look at this guy with a bare feet.
I said, I'm in California now. You know, he's
in California, freezing my ass over here.
I said, you big wop. And then we became fast friends. Now, anyway. No, so I'm half dressed and these guys are looking at me like I'm nuts. And they're right. I'm nuts. So my wife finally said to me, do you mind getting some clothes on? I go, I'm got on shorts and a T-shirt. She goes, you're dropping a kid off at school. You're standing there with other parents. The teachers are there. Not only that, they'll come up to you and say,
loved your program last night, Mr. Henry. Especially loved the one about the douche.
With five-year-old kids. So, you're right. So I gradually got into it, man, until finally this morning, you know, I'm there in a down-filled jacket and boots and glee, you know, I've got on a full hunting cap with the ear flaps, and I've got a moose rifle, one of those big, you know, those big those big turkey guns, and I'm loaded for bear, man. And I'm dropping my kid off, and the next thing I know, there's a fire at her freaking school. And last week, I called her up. You guys know the panic I was in, because I said, is everything okay, honey? She said, yeah, we can go outside, because the teacher said you can't. Dig this. She plays volleyball. What's this about? See, this is what I'm saying. You know, there comes a point where this baby boomer generation really tightens my jaws. This is a generation of soft kids we're raising here, man. Are you kidding me? Here it is. Did you have the big volleyball game? They had a big volleyball game. Big game she was practicing for. Did you have the game?
No. Why? Because of the smoke in the air, and they said we couldn't play.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, I just want to be clear. The game's indoors, and it was at a school that's only like a half a block away.
Uh-huh.
You couldn't play.
No. But I'm like,
that's sad, man. I used to ride my bike home from school in level 6 smog. Anything wrong with me today? Heck no. Just look at me. The picture of health. See my old thing about how I used to walk home in snow? I used to ride my bike home in smog that they wouldn't let you out of bed for these days. Pumping my bike up the hill. So anyway, they got to play the game again. I just have this theory that everything is about safety now. Everything is about trying to make yourself look badass and trying to make everything back off of you. Don't you get that? Like, look at the cars. Remember how they were supposed to be aerodynamic? They're not aerodynamic. They're big, freaking, huge safety vans, man. They're big tanks, right? I happen to think that's what tattoos are all about. I think tattoos are another way of saying back away. It's very tribal. And everything, man, it's all about just be safe, just keep everything away and make sure nothing's bad. And your kid did what? He rode his bike to school. He rode his bike to school. Okay, well, you might as well have just gotten the broom handle and Vaseline it up yourself, Mr. Hendry. Rode his bike to school, huh? Let's see, what unmarked, dark, tinted window van is your child now bound and gagged in? And then, of course, came the big day we made our kids ride their bikes to school at least three times a month. And then came the day, one of the kids isn't home yet. And Maria says, I don't know where he is. All right, fine. Come on, let's get in the car. We'll find him. Okay, everything's good. That's my third oldest son. Now, at the time, he was like 9 or 10. So he wore a red sweatshirt. Now, I got in my truck with one of the kids, and I went this way. Maria got in her van, her kid's soccer mom van, and she went that way. I come around the turn, and there he is. He's walking his bike up this hill. I said, come on, man, get your bike in the truck. Mom is really freaking out. So he gets in. We ride down the hill, and I encounter my wife coming the other way. And in the van is her and my oldest son. They're both looking at me like this. They're crying. I go, what? There was a red sweatshirt. Apparently, they went around the corner. There was an ambulance with a bike underneath, like the wheel of a truck, and a red sweatshirt laying on the ground. And they thought for sure the kid had just been crushed under the wheels of a truck. Right? And they're and I said, he's right here. And you never seen two faces go from, to, oh, really? I said, just because kids die doesn't mean that every dead kid you see is yours. And then I said, and where were you, man? He says, I went to see the doctor. I said, who? The guy that set my leg when it got broke when I was 3. He's just riding home, decides he's going to check into a hospital, 15 floors. He's going to go see this doctor and say, hey, man, how's it been? Thanks for setting my leg. Meanwhile, there's a red sweatshirt under truck wheels. I wouldn't do it, man. I don't know how she did it, but I wouldn't do it. 1-800-449-8686. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Dr. Jim Sadler is going to join us for just a moment, and the book is called The 36 Hours to Unbelievable Energy. And Dr. Sadler, thanks for joining us.
Always my pleasure, Phil.
Are you taking a bath?
I'm just soaking a little bit. Yeah, it's a very strenuous day today.
Okay. The book is called 36 Hours to Unbelievable Energy. Can you tell us a little bit about this? Apparently, this is marathon sleeping, followed by no sleep at all.
Phil, the book is called 36 Hours. What it's about is taking a nap. We don't know about napping. And I don't know. It's just taking a nap is fun. And a lot of things, when you nap, you get that.
Okay, are you all right?
Yeah, I just, the bar of soap slipped. When you nap, you're able to get the proper REM sleep. And, there it goes again. I've got a little ship that I play with.
See, that's what I thought was going on. Can you maybe...
You thought what was going on?
Well, it sounds like you're distracted by something as I hear you splashing around.
What I'm doing to help myself think is I'm just hitting the water with my hands. No, I'm not. I'm fine. When you nap, you sort of get the REM sleep that you want. And then you...
What are you doing, man? I just want to know what you're doing.
I'm just splashing the water back and forth. And then you sleep for 36 hours. Then I stay awake for 5 days. The idea behind this is to maximize the time you spend sleeping, to therefore maximize the time you spend awake. And then look at that. It makes really interesting.
Would you please pay attention to what I'm talking? Can you talk to me?
I'm talking to you.
Well, you're messing around with the water or something.
Jesus. All right, I'll get out. Let me have my robe. The idea behind the 36-hour nap, Phil, is one that I first began thinking about. About 2 years ago, I was working with Dr. Jim Favre. And Dr. Favre worked at the University of Southern California. At that time, he was what I would call a... Hold on. One, two, three. One, two, three. There he goes. He was, at that time...
Can we get serious here?
About what?
About what you're talking about? You're in the tub?
I'm toweling off.
You're toweling off. Okay.
Mr. Henry, I'm not trying to be contentious here.
All right, you got out of the tub, you cut one, now let's get serious.
I'm sorry. You know, I don't believe in holding those things in. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get up in my face.
I'm not getting in your face, man. I want to get to 36 hours you nap, then you stay awake, you claim, for 5 straight days. Let's move on.
Right. Well, first of all, I'm not making the claim. I am telling you that I stay up 36, I nap for 36 hours, then I stay awake for 5 days. The reason why I do this, again, as I mentioned, is to maximize the time that I spend at whatever my job is. This can be done in a... Hold on a minute. Hello? Hello? Yeah. Right. The Lakers get what? 2.5 points? Yeah, I'll take that.
So, what are we getting? Putting bets down now?
You know, you're really nosy. Yeah.
I'm listening to your life transpire, man. Splashing in the tub, cutting a fart, now placing a bet on the Lakers. Go ahead.
So, what you do when you sleep is you're getting really the best kind of sleep. It's the kind of sleep whereby you are able to... Oh, Jesus!
Doc? Doc?
Forgive me.
Are you all right?
I'm fine. I fell down the stairs. I fell down some cellar stairs.
Cellar stairs, huh?
Yeah. Let me just get some Advil. The idea is, look, here's the problem. There's some, spilt soda water here or something. I'll get the wet back out. The problem, Phil, that we face in this...
What are you doing now, man?
I've got my wet back. Excuse me if I have a wet back. You don't have one?
No, I don't.
Oh, I guess you're jealous, huh?
Yeah, that's what I am, man. I'm jealous you got a wet back. Can you finish all of your household chores? Then we can talk.
Yeah, fine.
Well, maybe I can call you back, huh?
Huh?
I'll call you back?
No, I'll be done in a minute. La-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. Oh, Jesus, I gotta move this sofa. I don't think it's been vacuumed behind the sofa for years. Look at that. There's a penny and a quarter. I love to vacuum up pennies and quarters.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, that's got it. All right, Phil. What I was saying is, the idea of marathon sleep is one that has been forever on the minds of a great many people. What you want to do is you want to make sure that...
What is going on, man, that I can't talk to you without...
I'm making some soup. You got a problem? You got a problem?
What are you doing?
I'm opening up a can of soup.
Go ahead.
The idea that we have been a people who... are not maximizing our sleep, I think could probably be very, very summed up in the nature of the kind of work that we're doing right here. The idea that...
What was that?
You're really nosy.
Well, what was that, man?
I was throwing something into some boiling water. The man who invented marathon sleep, one of my, I guess you could say, mentors, was a gentleman by the name of Jim Kapinski. Jim was a guy that was always... Hold on, I gotta feed the cat.
All right, get out of here.
Wait a minute, man, I paid for this airtime.
You know, Bud...
Right.
All right, now, I want to say, just for the record, that jackass was supposed to talk about marathon sleep, not make soup, feed a cat, wet back up the floor, fall downstairs, take a bath, or fart. 1-800-449-86...
8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
So now they've got a airline. It's a airline, Scandinavian Airlines, been around a long time, but they're offering 50 passenger places where they have laptops where you can check your emails, surf the internet, send pictures, all at 35,000 feet. Scandinavian Airlines, the 261-seat airplanes that belong to Scandinavian Airlines. I don't know what kind of planes these are, but they're one of several non-American carriers using an in-flight high-speed internet service called Connection, developed by Boeing for its own commercial jetliners. What they're trying to offer as many perks as they possibly can to justify the enormous amount of money that they charge you to fly. And if you want to spend that kind of bread to fly, that's your business. You know, out here we have something called Southwest Airlines. I'm sure that there are airlines in other parts of the country that are as economical. But you know, flying an airplane, of course, is at its very heart and soul the process of getting from one place to another. And you try to do it as comfortably as you can. And it's just an uncomfortable experience. I don't think I'm saying anything here that... unless you've got first class tickets that are going to afford you the, you know, like 2 hours in the Admiral's Club before you step out to the gate, it sucks. And flying, like I said, is something that not only is it not all that comfortable, but more and more, you know, people who work the gates, you never really know who it is you're dealing with. I would just dig it. You know, if maybe they would build a few more airplanes and put a little more extra. All I need, man, is just a little more space. Just a little teeny bit more space, man. Just a little more of that leg room. I know you guys are always talking about it. I ain't seen it yet. More leg room. Where? Where is the leg room? You're always rapping about the leg room. I don't see it. There ain't no leg room. They're in coach. I got a great idea. Build the planes longer. No more three seats in a row. No more. Just two, man. Make the freaking plane longer. Have you thought about that? You guys are always talking about, why not, what do you mean double-decking it, man? Make the freaking thing bigger. A big, long stretch bean, you know, like a string bean of an airplane. Big, long thing. Now you can put all these seats with all kinds of leg room and like two in a row, man. Like two and then the island and two. And make them a little bit wider. You got to understand, there's a lot of fat people out there, Jack. Those seats you cats got in coach, they ain't getting it done anymore. Now, for all these perks that they sell you, whether it's internet, whether it's Virgin with their, you know, DirecTV, all of this stuff. Now, I know these are specialized airlines. But I would simply say to you this. I would say that you could take the seats out of first class and business. And you could make everybody's seat bigger and charge a little bit more. And maybe you could start making some money that way. That would be real. Like, make everybody's seat a business class seat. Fatten out them coach seats. Skinny down those first class seats. Everybody's got a business class seat. Everything is two seats to a row. And maybe a couple of little, you know, perks like television or... by the way, I've noticed that they don't use plastic forks and knives anymore. They've figured out that maybe no one's going to hijack the plane using their cutlery. So seriously, if you fly in business or first class, they give you silverware again. It used to be a plastic. Welcome to first class. Yeah, thank you very much for my McMeal. Jesus. You know, the cat gives you, you're spending a piece of change to fly first class, gives you a plastic knife. Somehow it just takes away from the experience. Well, they're back to giving you like the regular stuff, okay? Because I've always felt, the day and age of hijacking a plane with a razor blade or a nail clipper, forget it. It's not going to happen. Oh, yeah? That's exactly what we thought before 9/11, Mr. Hendry. And look what happened. Wait a minute. Use your sense. Use your head. That was a one-shot deal, man. These guys using the razor blades and whatever the hell it was, that ain't going to happen again. That means that the whole... You remember what happened? Everybody was, like, afraid, so everybody sat still and nobody did anything until they realized they're going to crash the freaking plane. And after that, you know, all bets were off. Man, nobody got to jack a plane now with a freaking nail trimmers. You know how many nail trimmers I've had to get rid of? Do you know the thousands and thousands of dollars in Swiss Army knives and nail trimmers I've had to ditch? I'm sorry, sir. No, yeah, okay. Not only that, and Bic lighters. because you might light your shoes on fire. Now, I understand about the shoe thing, but I'm having my shoes checked. I'm just saying, no more of that. Check for bombs, check for the explosives of the guns. But, I mean, if I had back every lighter I've had to give, it's worth thousands and thousands of dollars. The lighter, I forgot. The nail trimmers, yep, I forgot. No, I don't want to mail them back to myself. Go ahead, you can have them. There's somebody out there, the TSA, man, they're making out like bandits. Where do they put all that stuff? There's some dude that works for the Transportation Security Administration that's got a garage full of nail trimmers and Bic lighters. What are you going to do with all that stuff? I don't know yet, man, but I got a lot of it. I'm going to swap meet at the Rose Bowl. What do you think? Good idea. Yeah. Hell, I got to get rid of it. You want one? Sure, go ahead. Yeah, just come on. Have at it, man. I got to get rid of this crap. You know, so what I would suggest is they just make everything just a little teeny bit more comfortable. Thank you very much for returning the silverware to us. I don't need a television set. I don't even need a DVD player. Hell, are you kidding me, man? With laptop computers now, everybody ought to have their own DVD player. They can go pound freaking sand. So don't be charging me extra for those little perks. I can bring my damn laptop on board, stick in any freaking porn I want, and watch it to my heart's content. I don't need to have the flight attendant, who's a very gracious person and frankly should be doing more important things than walking around with DVD sets and headphones.
You want a DVD player?
No, I have my laptop. That's okay. We know a lot of people today. I know they're retards. Go ahead, give it to them. Yeah, they can go watch Good, Bad, and the Ugly for the 19th time. You know? And all of that. And then what we do then is we make it a little bit more comfortable experience. That's all I'm asking, okay? Otherwise, because I ain't up to that charter in my own jet thing now. You know, when I wrote that TV show and I was working with this writer, very nice guy by the name of Peter Tolan, and I said to him, well, you know, we were talking one day. He says, well, what are you kidding? I said, what? He said, I don't do that anymore. Said, you don't fly anymore? Well, I fly, but I don't go to airports. Is that what you mean? Yeah, airports, man. That's what I fly out of. No, I don't do that. But you fly. Oh, yeah. Well, what do? We go charter. Charter? Yeah, charter. Well, what do you do, man? Well, what you do is you've got the plane and you fly whenever you damn well feel like flying. You get on and then you sit down and then you drop a handkerchief and that lets the pilot know, rev it up, Jim. Right? I said, you're kidding, man. No. How much does that cost? That's about 20 grand. 20 grand, okay, good luck. Well, all I'm telling you, Phil, is someday if you breathe that rarefied air, obviously you ain't there yet. No, but Peter's a talented guy, and he deserves it. And you wouldn't know it by the way he dresses. But anyway, I'm not joking, but that's okay. He charters everything. So what you do is you drive onto the runway. You get out of the car, the flight attendant is standing there with the hands and the little pillbox hat, and she's all, waiting for you, man. They're waiting for you, dude. You get up onto the plane, you sit down, and you go, Jeeves, tally-ho, and off you go, baby. 20 G's, man, back east, round, I don't know what it, like round trip, Peter's got his wife and a couple of kids, 20 G's for the whole deal. It's a lot of bread, man. I mean, who can afford that, right? But that's what's happening now. This flying first class and business class, that's strictly from hunger, man. You're going to sit up there in a big wide seat and the guy gives you a plastic knife and he goes, we're having the filet this evening, sir. Oh, thank you for the plastic fork. That's great. The filet and what else? The filet and we're also having a wonderful New York strip steak. I think I'll have the New York strip. Thank you. And your steak knife, they just took from Taco Bell. They got it out of the dispenser. They give you a little serrated plastic knife for your New York strip. So what I would suggest to Scandinavian Airways and all the other well-meaning airlines, all of those perks are great, but I got a better idea. Just fatten the seats out a little bit, get a little bit extra leg room going on, make the air conditioner work. That's a nice thing. You know, like when we're on the ground, have it work. That would be beautiful. When we're on the ground and it's 186 degrees in there, and people are sweating and moving and kids are screaming and crying. And you're at that point where you're, oh, Jesus, do I want this to be over with? And I've just got on the plane. You're at that kind of a point. Try to make it a comfortable thing, you know. Now, I think you can make it comfortable by making the air conditioning work. Make the seats a little bit bigger. All children are bound and gagged and stuffed under the plane. You know where you can put the kids? In the wheel well. You know how guys stow away in those? Put the kids up in the wheel well so that the wheel opens. It goes, oh, Jesus, we got kids. Oh, well. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, yeah, man. Money. Money, baby. It's a beautiful thing. Why, I remember one time when I'm just kidding. I don't have really any. But I will say this. Oh, yeah, here we go. I remember one time Maria and I were in Fiji. And so anyway, there we are. Now, we had flown over from the main island on Fiji. The main island on Fiji has a town called Nandi. Nandi. N-A-D-I. Or it's pronounced kind of Nandi, even though it's N-A-D-I. And what do you want? You know, I mean, it's a third world country, Fiji. It's very, very interesting to us Westerners. You know, we leave a country where things look a certain way. We're just used to a certain thing. And we're just, the first thing that hits you when you hit any third world country is the smell. It's not necessarily bad, but it's definitely a cooking smell where, I don't know, there's not a lot of gas ranges being used, okay? It's a lot of charcoal cooking going on. But in any event, we flew from the main island over to this Jacques Cousteau resort we were going to go to. And we flew on the Fiji inter-island airline called Sunflower. Now, I'm going to tell you, I am not afraid of flying. I'm not afraid of flying. I fly. I'm a pretty good flyer. Anybody that's flown with me would attest to that. But when you're on a little plane and there's a woman behind you with a crying baby, and when you hit turbulence, she grabs your shoulder, you begin to pray. You pray to a god perhaps you've never really been familiar with. You pray to a lot of different gods. You pray, being in Fiji, the Hindu gods began to materialize in front of me. And the cloud cover. So imagine, this is what we were in the middle of. And even Maria, who is a good flyer, she was holding on. And I think she really felt, as I did, that this could go either way. This flight could go definitely either way. The plane is crowded. The dude sitting next to me is some homeboy, like from I don't know where, like America, who has looked like he's going to pee his pants. The woman behind me is grabbing my shoulder with the screaming baby. There are all kinds of island people that are probably hopping over to their bellhop jobs in some resort, right? And we're flying on the Sunflower Airlines. And can you see anything? No, we're in clouds. Now, there's two pilots, and it's just, you're up and down, and you're into the thing. And it's one thing to be in turbulence. It's another thing to be in turbulence and inside of a cloud. I don't know. There's not too many things more disquieting to me. I don't know where I am or what. Come on, man. Now it's raining. Now, if you're familiar with the islands down there, whether it's Fiji, Tahiti, or anything, they're very mountainous, right? Suddenly, Patsy Cline starts coming into my mind, like maybe a mountain. Suddenly, like Buddy Holly, and all of those crashes where it's just, and the last thing I see is just like, you know, some welcome to Fiji on the side of a mountain, and then boom! And we're, and I remember looking at Maria, and she was not comfortable, and neither was I, and especially when the woman's grabbing my shoulder and the baby's crying, and what am I? All of a sudden, I feel like I'm on some transport in the middle of India, you know, like I'm on a ferry that's sinking. You know, white man, he know, you know, yes, dear. And suddenly the clouds opened up and there was blue, beautiful Pacific there. And I saw the airstrip. Now, when I say airstrip, I mean airstrip. I mean, there's a windsock and a guy sitting in a lawn chair. And just a thing, you know. And I said to Maria, when I can see where we're going to land, I was feeling good. And suddenly the clouds parted. I'm like, oh, this is great, man. Thank God, you know. And the cat's swinging in. She goes, where are we landing? I go, you see that area where there's no jungle? She says, yeah, that's it. And I mean, it's an airstrip. It's just a strip, man. And they don't, a control tower? They got a guy standing on top of three boxes with flags. Just, woo, woo. You know, he's just, and we came in, baby, and we made a landing. Now, the reason why I bring the story up is I've never chartered a plane in my life, but I did pitch in with a guy when we left the Cousteau to come back to Nandi, to the international airport. The guy who owned the place, I forgot his name, Mike Friedland, nice guy. He said, Phil, do you want to go in on a seaplane? I said, What are you talking about? He says, if we get the five of us, we can get the seaplane. We'll take it back to Nandi. I said, where does it go? He says, it lands right here in front of the hotel in the water. I said, I'm all over that. So we pitched in. And the next thing I know, the guy says, just take your bags to the end of the dock. Boom. And the next thing I know, it's like something out of Fantasy Island. The plane, it's coming. And you see the dude lands in the water. We get in. The pilot loads everything for you. Boom, we tank off. There's nothing like taking off a water. It's incredible, man. And we took off, and we flew just maybe five of us in this seaplane back to Nandi. And on top of that, it was the most beautiful thing you've ever seen in your life. You'd see the coral reefs, but loud the whole trip. So I chartered a plane, Tolan. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, our web address is www.philhendryshow.com. Visit us online if you'd like to get a backstage pass. Get that there. Gives you all the archive material. Tonight's show will be archived for 30 days, including that very interesting hour with Lloyd Bonafide, wherein he admits he had something to do with the suicide of David Carruthers. Jeez. And, you know, like that. Our best of CD, Are You For Real, for the year 2005, coming out very soon. From the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.